This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Recently have filled up, how much did you pay? Was it 60? Was it 70? Maybe you're a little bit lucky and you don't have a gas guzzler, or maybe you plug and play as you roll because you're going electric. It has been the biggest complaint across the nation, what we are paying, thanks to what's happening, of course, with Russia going after the Ukraine and how much crude has shot up. That's where we're at. Welcome to the show. Kate Delaney's my name. Thanks for joining us. So here's the latest. It's very sad what's happening to the people, and really, honestly, that's what I care about. I mean, it's not a movie. When you see the actual images, and I see those young children who are running for their lives, their parents just gasping and holding them so tightly and grabbing their giant German shepherds and dogs and trying to just get over to a tiny piece of land that isn't blown up to perhaps cross over a bridge with one foot in the water and one on a tiny piece of cement to just to get a little step closer to freedom and safety. It really puts it in perspective, my friends. It really does how sickening and sad all of this is. But we are definitely feeling it because oil is now $130. There are some economists who believe that at the high mark could shoot up to $200, which would be a disaster. So buyers are bidding up prompt crude deliveries to replace Russian barrels. I mean, it is escalating, and this is where we find ourselves. So prices for April deliveries, this is the markets, of crude have gone up since Russia invaded the Ukraine, and it's become this aggressor's oil export deal. The main U.S. price last week topped at $110 a barrel for the first time in more than a decade. I mean, so now we're here at this $130 mark, and it's incredible. So what happens next? You know, you look at hoarding, and then you look at, you know, for example, over nearly four decades, that's four, count them, forty years of trading in West Texas intermediate futures, a barrel on average has cost 40 cents more than one delivered a year later. So that difference rarely exceeds 10 bucks in either direction. When it does, the blowout is usually related to war, a hurricane, a market crash, or a pandemic. So which do we have? A war. It's what's going on in Russia. Of course, the worry is that fuel consumption was falling faster than oil producers could shut off the spigots. So that leads to the trades in which sellers effectively paid buyers to take oil off their hands. And producers eventually choked back before the world's oil storage facilities overflowed. So now with economies reopening, producers from the Organization of the Petroleum Exporting Countries, OPEC as we know it, the acronym, to Texas frackers have been slow to meet the rising demand. And so that's drained fuel stockpiles around the world. It's sparked forecasts on Wall Street for $100 oil this summer. And that was during our peak driving seasons. So now with the Russian tanks rolling into the Ukraine, it's gone even higher. OPEC and its market allies, including Russia, have chosen to maintain the cartel's production quotas despite the surging prices. So allowing for the first time to permit, by the way, drill wells, it could be 6 to 9 months before increased domestic drilling. So let me say that again to you. 6 to 9 months before we have domestic drilling, even with government incentives, adds anything meaningful to the supplies. But until then, barring anything diplomatic that would allow more oil to flow from other places, where would those other places be? Venezuela and Iran, prices are going to keep rising. until what happens, we can't bear the expense and reduce consumption. That's what it is. So that's going to happen. It's just a question of would it really hit two? So here's my suggestion to you. I would just say this, and I said this in the previous hour. I am very guilty of this. I mean, I play chicken all the time with the gas in my car because usually I'm hurried around, right? And I'm not looking at the tank. And I know, oh, I'll be fine. I'll be in the neighborhood. I have three gas stations that I go to. But I wouldn't wait. I would keep it pretty topped off, if you know what I'm saying, because that's going to keep increasing. So, you know, you might feel more pain depending on how much you have to fill up. And so that would be maybe one of the little things that you could do to fend that off. And if you are perhaps tied into some sort of club, whether it's Costco or Sam's Club, or maybe your local grocery store, a lot of them do that around the country, then there's other places where you can go and get gas. I've noticed that the lines are long at those stations because people think it's worth it that they can get 5 or 6 cents or 7 or whatever it is off of their gallon of gas now because they're in the club and they've spent money on groceries. So we're feeling the pain at the pump. We're feeling the pain as far as food is concerned, and I think it's going to get worse. So buckle up because we're seeing other things that are starting to really, really rise in a very, very big way. And we cut off the oil importing from Russia, which is a very big possibility. We're seeing that on the Hill, that word bipartisan cooperation, or we have a bipartisan bill, is so rare, right? It does happen. There are layup things that all of us would agree to no matter what your stripes are, whether you call yourself independent or Republican or Democrat, or you just really don't label yourself at all. There are some things that, believe it or not, as Americans we can all agree on, and the people that we have elected can agree on. And so one of them is not to import Russian oil. But I think that the president is kind of playing chicken with this as to, ooh, because it's not going to help his approval ratings when people are furious at what they're paying for gasoline, right? When domestically there was no opening up of drilling, because it could be like, hey, you didn't anticipate this, or what did you do to fend this off? Who knows? Whatever the reason is, he might be up in the polls right now because he got a bounce after the State of the Union address. You got NPR, PBS, NewsHour, Marist, National Poll showing that he did definitely go. And whatever poll you look at, wherever it's slanted so much of what we read, we can find maybe what we want to see. It's kind of in that same direction. So a majority of Americans, 52%, approve of how President Biden is handling the situation in the Ukraine. But that's up from 34% from last week. That's big. 44% disapprove, down from 50%. Last time, only 4% are unsure, so that's big that they're saying that number. That's for now. 83% of Americans in this particular poll support the economic sanctions imposed against Russia by the United States and its allies, and they say they're willing to make sacrifices to support the Ukraine. But how many sacrifices will they make when they pull up and they realize in their chitty chitty bang bang car that they have to pay $5.50 for a gallon of gas? Because it could happen. It's not just the people who are driving the sweet rides that are going to pay top dollar. All right, hang with us. We're talking about beauty and what you can do to get rid of those wrinkles and other problems next.
If you're like most Americans, you're pretty much in disbelief with what's going on in the world. As we all know, global problems are having local consequences. Too many of them. And if the peanut butter really hits the fan, are you ready? Grocery store supply chains are only as strong as their weakest link. Don't wait for them to break. Now's the time to secure emergency food for everyone in your family. My Patriot Supply is America's largest preparedness company. Our specially packaged and delicious food stays fresh for up to 25 years in storage. It'll be there when you need it. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and pick up several emergency food kits. There are a dozen different sizes that average over 2,000 calories per day. Our food kits will ship quickly and discreetly to your door. Having food storage in your home beats government food lines hands down. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com today and prepare for what's coming. MyPatriotSupply.com.
You trust your mother, right? She's always taken care of you and always tried to give you good advice when you ask for it. And sometimes even when you don't. Well, even though she might not mention it, Mom very likely has neck, back, and shoulder pains. And she needs relief. So trust this good advice. Give back to Mom this Mother's Day with quality products from Sunnybay. Like our disposable heat patches. They're back in stock now and target neck and shoulder pain in adults of all ages. Or our extra long neck heating pads. They provide soothing relief to painful sore necks and backs. Mom can heat them in her microwave, and they come in a variety of colors and patterns. Read our trusted, authentic, and real reviews on Amazon when you search Sunny Bay Heating Wraps. And shop now in time for Mother's Day. There's no shipping delays from Sunny Bay. Find us on Amazon, Walmart, Etsy, and sunny-bay.com. Remember, just search for Sunny Bay Neck Wraps. Order now because stock is high and shipping is fast. From Sunny Bay.
Ever feel completely down on your luck, whether it's your career or just your life? Do you look at other people and wonder, why them, not me? I'm Kate Delaney. I did it. I admit it. I've learned some valuable and priceless lessons from some of the rock stars I've interviewed over the years, like Sir Richard Branson or the late, great John Madden, and I want to share them. Want to laugh? Want to learn? Want more out of life? Then pick up a copy of my book, Heal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary. Get it on Amazon today.
The Tahibo Tea Club's original pure Pauti Arco Super Tea naturally builds good cells and kills bad cells. So, it's great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting an infection, diabetes, or cancer. To order, visit drinksupertea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com. 818-965-9113. drinksupertea.com.
So Amy Ray Sedlar joins us, and she's had quite the career. Imagine 20 years of skincare in Beverly Hills. And her book, and this is what's important to all of you listening, her book is Secrets of Skincare, an Unconventional Approach to Healthy Skin. And I think, who doesn't want healthy skin? Men or women, by the way, for sure, because when you think of skin, it's the biggest part of your body, essentially, and Amy knows even more about that. But I have never run into somebody who wouldn't like to have some sort of improvement. So great timing on this book. Amy, thanks for joining us.
Hi, Kate. Thank you so much for having me.
So first of all, how did you get into the biz in the first place?
Well, in my early 20s, my mother had a friend that was an esthetician that I just always looked up to her. She had gorgeous skin, and she just had a wonderful career, and it really inspired me to help people that were struggling with, you know, skin problems.
And you start off, and then you end up where, you know, like I said, 20 years, two decades of doing this in Beverly Hills. You definitely have some secrets. There's no question about that. And you've worked with some celebrities and all kinds of people from all walks of life. And obviously, this was a calling for you. There's no question about it. What made you decide to write the book?
Well, actually, what's interesting is early on in my career, I was in the medical aesthetics industry. I worked with some really renowned doctors, kind of put me under their wing. And so I learned the whole medical side of skincare. And I felt like something was wrong when I was, you know, putting these chemicals and different products on people's skin, thinking, why would we be slathering our skin, our largest organ, with chemicals? Like, it just wasn't adding up for me. So I moved out of the medical industry into more holistic, because I saw that when I would do more holistic things with my clients on the side, I saw big changes. So when I would help someone, you know, with their diet or more natural products, their skin would improve. So early on in my career, I just did like more of a trial and error and kind of made my own way, my own path. and kind of took the reins and started my own business.
Yeah. So tell us about more specifics in the book. What kind of tips do you give us that we can, you know, some of the listeners right now could probably start doing?
Some of the things, well, one of the things that I would say is an epidemic. It's a silent epidemic. Is a lot of us are walking around dehydrated, chronically dehydrated. And even though we're drinking water, we think we're getting hydrated. I have a whole chapter in my book called Water Solutions. Because when we're not being hydrated properly, our blood gets thick and soupy, and it can make our skin kind of sag and not be. There's also another chapter called "Are You a Raisin or Are You a Grape?" If we think of, you know, a grape that's full of living, plumped up water, or a dehydrated raisin, it's kind of how our skin works. So hydration is really important, and I really emphasize that in the book. I talk a lot about a lot of DIYs, like fun things you can do at home, that are very simple. They're not expensive. They're easy to do, and they're fun. They're fun to do. So I have a lot of those things in the book.
Oh, I like that, DIYs. But to your point about are you a raisin or a grape, and there is something about water, right, that also helps you, and you mentioned it, you help people sometimes with the skin with their diet and what's going on there, and that has to help in that direction too, I would think.
Oh, yeah. You know, Kate, there is an alarming number of people struggling with skin disorders right now, and I'm especially right now, and I'm talking about rashes, psoriasis, eczema, rosacea, and especially a lot of young people, which is heartbreaking, you know, because they're dealing with these skin issues and they don't have to be. There's a very easy way out of it. And I feel like my book gives you that road. It's a very simple approach. It's a lot of things you probably would be shocked to hear because they're so simple. But it's a very easy way to get beautiful skin without spending tons of money and going from doctor to doctor. You know, I had a lot of clients come to me after they had been to every dermatologist in town or every doctor, and they had no relief. And just a few simple diet changes. Actually, one of the things is your liver. Our liver plays a very important role in what our skin looks like. It's one of the detox organs. Our skin is also a detox organ. So when we clean up the liver, miracles happen with the skin. I mean, miracles when we clean up the liver.
Wow. And of course, that's good all the way around too. So it's that same thing. How satisfying was it for you to write the book? I mean, it had to feel good to put the book out into the world.
You know, it's really satisfying. I'm not a writer by trade, so I'm an esthetician and a holistic practitioner. So I did have, you know, I struggled a little bit with how to get what was inside of me out into the book. And I'm just really excited. This is my first book of a series that I plan on doing. So my second book I'm already working on, and it's going to be more technical. Secrets of Skincare, an Unconventional Approach to Healthy Skin, is more of an introduction for someone who maybe isn't familiar with this type of living or conscious living or even thinking about, you know, your skin as an organ. So I'm really excited for the next book to come out, and I'm also going to be teaching some live classes, that will complement the book. So I actually have a class coming up on March 20th. And you can go to my website to find out about that class.
Yeah. Tell us your website.
So my website is secretsofskincare.net. And, I'll have blogs on there. It's very interactive. I'd love to hear from people. I'd love to answer questions. I'm really passionate about helping people find relief for, you know, skin issues.
What do you hope people take away from reading Secrets of Skincare, an Unconventional Approach to Healthy Skin, which you can get on Amazon, Barnes and Noble, wherever great books are sold? What do you hope they take away?
I hope they take away that healthy skin is not just about being flawless or not having one wrinkle or one age spot, because, I mean, I have age spots. I have wrinkles. It's, you're human, but it's about having an inner glow and a light that comes on when you do the things that I provide in the book, that it's like a road to turning on the beauty light, I call it. And everybody is beautiful. It's for every age, every skin type. And it's not about, it's more for health than vanity, you know, and our skin can be a great watchman for what's going on internally. So when we learn how to read our skin, we can take control, you know, we can take control of our health, and our skin can be a great indicator of what's going on inside.
Oh, I love that. Perfect place to end this. Amy Ray Sedlar, again, the name of the book, Secrets of Skincare, an Unconventional Approach to Healthy Skin. Thanks for coming on.
Thank you so much, Kate. Thank you.
All right, so interesting. She sits there and talks about, in her book, she talks about water, and I can completely relate to that, as I am somebody who my whole life have struggled to really honestly grasp that concept. I say, well, I'm drinking water, and then I realize, no, I'm not. I'm dehydrated, and I now make it a deal that I got to drink like 60 ounces of water, and it has made a huge, huge difference for me. There's just no question about it. All right, a couple of quick hits before we toss it to the other side, talking about cybersecurity, and then talking about vets and dogs. You know, veterans and how these service dogs have been lifesavers, especially for those who struggle with PTSD and just in general what it's meant and how big it's become and the stories that Christine Hassing tells us about. One of my favorite, I think, things that I've ever seen is when so many veterans, young veterans, older veterans, whatever, come back and the struggle is real, and then they've got a dog, and the dog has made all the difference in the world. So the quick hits include some things that I dug up thanks to my friends at The Hustle. And if we go back to 1876, Alexander Graham Bell received a patent for the telephone. Well, can you imagine? What would Alexander Graham Bell's ghost think of where we are now with the telephones? But anyway, he made the first ever call to his partner Tom Watson a few days later. And if you've seen any biopics on him or anything about him, you know, he was like an eccentric dude, and he just never gave up. So he actually got patent 174-465 from the U.S. Patent Office for the method and apparatus for transmitting vocal or other sounds telegraphically by causing electrical undulations similar in the form of vibrations of air accompanying the said vocal or other sound. Wow, pretty cool. Meet you on the flip side.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Did you get a call or message that mentioned Social Security that made you feel threatened or scared? That is not the Social Security Administration. Social Security will not threaten you, press you for personal information, or demand instant payment. Social Security does not accept payments by gift card, prepaid debit card, internet currency, or by mailing cash. Criminals use these forms of payment because they are hard to trace. Don't fall for it. Hang up, ignore them. Report this criminal activity to oig.ssa.gov.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
USA Radio News with Kenneth Burns.
Australia has sanctioned 10 people it described as Moscow's propagandists and purveyors of disinformation. Officials say those folks are trying to give credibility to false narratives from the Kremlin to justify the Russian invasion of Ukraine. The sanctions come as peace talks between the Kremlin and Ukraine bared no fruit.
The talks took place near the Belarus border. Kremlin spokesman Dmitry Peskov said Ukraine should amend its constitution to reject any aims to enter any bloc, meaning don't join NATO or the European Union. Russia also demanded Ukraine recognize Crimea as Russian and the pro-Moscow separatist republic in eastern Ukraine as independent. The requirements were quickly denounced by Ukrainian officials as much of the same. Higher-level talks by both countries will take place Thursday in Turkey. From the West Coast USA Radio News Bureau, I'm Lance Pry.
This is USA Radio News. The world surpassed 6 million COVID-19 deaths on Monday. According to Johns Hopkins University, the U.S. leads the mortality count with more than 960,000 deaths. Brazil is second with more than 652,000 deaths. India has the third highest death rate with more than 515,000. Russia and Mexico round out the top five. Teachers in Minneapolis are going on strike on Tuesday after they failed to reach an agreement on a new contract. Union members say they could not reach agreement on wages, caps on class sizes, or more mental health services for students. The strike will keep some 29,000 students at home. On the other side of the Mississippi River in St. Paul, Minnesota, teachers there reached a tentative agreement averting a strike. On Wall Street Monday, the Dow lost more than 987 points. The NASDAQ fell 482 points. The S&P 500 was down 128 points. You're listening to USA Radio News.
The first 10 amendments to our country's Constitution were adopted in 1791. The first of these broadly protects the rights of free speech and free press. Free speech means the free and public expression of opinions without censorship, interference, and restraint by the government. 231 years later, free speech across America is under chronic and insidious attack. GCN is under attack. Your freedom is currently under siege from those who do not want you to know the truth. I'm asking our fellow broadcasters and you to rise up and help us defend our right to continue telling you the truth. Would you like to join us? If so, please consider visiting SaveGCN.com. That's SaveGCN.com. From there, you can learn more about what's happening. You may click follow, share, give, and pray. I'm Vincent Finelli.
Talk to Matthew George, our friend, than now. He is the founder and CEO of Vigi Trust. He is the author of the book, The Cyber Elephant in the Boardroom, and he's got these brilliant five pillars of security framework, cyber accountability, and he and I have talked about that a lot. Never, never more a better time to talk to him because of so many things that have been happening in the world, and how secure are you and how secure is your company. Hey, Matthew, thanks so much for coming on.
Hi, how are you? Very nice to be here again. Thank you for the opportunity.
And thanks for joining us from Dublin, which is where one of your offices is.
That's correct, yeah. Dublin, New York, and Paris, but today it's Dublin.
And you actually, with all the, I mean, Vigitrust, congratulations on this. It's been like 20 years. How many countries are you in? I think it's like 120, right?
Yeah, so we've got users in 120 countries. We've just entered our 20th year. As you can imagine, over the last 20 years, things have changed dramatically. Like 20 years ago, it was all about protecting the networks. Then it went into network security, content security, data protection, privacy. And today we have like cloud applications, remote working post-pandemic. And of course, we've got ransomware, which is rampant. And so the risk surface has changed dramatically. And the attack vectors have increased. And so, you know, as a CISO, it's a lonely job because you need to get it right all the time, whereas the attackers only need to get it right once.
Yeah. And speaking of attackers, something that has been talked about, especially the last couple of days, is what's been happening with Russia and the Ukraine and, of course, NATO and et cetera. It's not about the politics. We could leave that aside for a second, but it's about perhaps cyber attacks, because that's been suggested that you might see more of that emanating out of Russia, but very tough to track that, right?
It's extremely tough to track, you know, and even if a nation state, be it Russia or another country, claims responsibility for an attack, there's no 100% way of being able to demonstrate that it was them. And even if there is, from a political perspective, it's a very delicate thing to do. Even when you look at generic attacks and you try to find the perpetrators, if you're finding the origin of the attack in a different nation, it's going to take a while before you can actually get the police forces to get the right information locally in order to get them. So what's happening right now is that kind of, if you look back years ago, maybe decades ago when there was a war, you were only doing the war on three domains, right? So it was land, air, and water. And today it's also cyber. But unlike land and air and in water, it's very hard to define where that cyber surface stops and where it might end from an attack perspective. What we do know, however, and that's 100% sure, is that as a nation state, if you wanna have a very effective attack, you would want to do a two-pronged attack. So you would do a physical attack with a cyber attack. Whether you do the cyber attack just before the physical attack or after really depends. And you might do both. So you might use a cyber attack to weaken the critical infrastructure of a country, especially access to communications, access to defense forces, access to water, access to health services. You weaken that before you launch the physical attack. And as people are scrambling to essentially respond, the first responders, they don't have access to all the data and all the tools that they normally would have. Or you do it the other way around. And so, those cyber attacks and that attack surface, it's being monitored on a continuous basis by the attackers. They're trying to find your vulnerabilities way ahead of the physical attack.
Wow. All right, we'll see what happens, but definitely time to watch for that happening in all different aspects of our lives, including what happens when you have a smart house. You know, we're talking about smart homes, and what happens with what you've got digitally going on. How vulnerable are you there? Because I think people don't really think about it, but now they're starting to see that that's happening.
Well, absolutely. The same way as I was talking about the nation's critical infrastructure, where everything is connected. Today, in your house, everything is connected. So whereas 5 years ago, you would have had maybe five devices per family that would be connected. Today, you might have 40, 50 different devices, and some devices that you forgot you connected to your home network. So your own risk surface has increased dramatically as well. But because you're not necessarily a security expert or you're a very trusting person, you're kind of thinking about the advantages, the features that those connected objects give you, as opposed to thinking about how is that impacting my life. And so one of the things that, you know, listeners should think about is that the attacks are becoming much more personal. So if we attack, say, Colonial Pipeline, or if we attack a food provider, like was the case in the U.S. last year, or we attack the health service executive in Ireland, it sounds like it's a group of hackers hacking a government or hacking a big company. But the reality is slightly different, because they're hacking those enterprises, so to speak, or those networks. And that directly impacts on your ability as a person to get access to health services, to banking, to food, to energy. And so you wake up one morning, there's no electricity, there's no water, you're sick, and there's no emergency services. So what we need to understand as a people is that we need to work together to protect our own infrastructure at home. So I often talk about protecting your own personal critical infrastructure, right? So your personal infrastructure is like your connected door, your connected car, your connected kettle, your connected fridge, your connected systems that may even send an automatic order when you run out of certain items at home. And so you need to protect all of that because you're at risk as well. The good news is that it's not really rocket science to protect it.
Right. And so how do you do that? I mean, obviously passwords is one thing. I think sometimes people make easy passwords or they get stuck on that. And then that's an easy thing to crack.
Yeah. I mean, too often we see that passwords are actually passwords or password one, password two, or it's your date of birth or it's your pet's name or whatever. I think that the multi-factor authentication is something that's freely available for most good applications, and so you should use it. And also you need to look at the systems that you plug in, and generally speaking, when you go into settings, you'll find a security tab, and you can actually turn off all the services that you don't need. Even on an iPhone, there's a lot of services that are turned on by default. And it's because they want you to use applications, but you may not need all of this. Why leave a door open when you don't need it open? Because eventually it's going to slam, or there's going to be a draft coming into your house. Well, it's the same analogy, for your critical infrastructure. And the other thing you can do is you can use managed service providers for personal infrastructure. There's a good few of them at the moment, especially in the US. They cost a few dollars per month, and they manage all of that security. And if there's something wrong, they send you an alert, and you can decide what you want to do.
All right. That's a great suggestion. And, we're only a couple of months into 2022. What else do you fear, or what do you see as you look at this year and then even bouncing out into the end of the year and into next year as what's so critical when it comes to cybersecurity?
So I think that we're going to see a lot more ransomware this year, because unfortunately, whilst the ransomware software itself is not necessarily very advanced, or even when it's advanced, it only gets in because we as humans make mistakes. So we click on the wrong phishing email. We are seeing a huge increase in the last couple of months in SMS, so phone-based, message-based attacks. And they're very easy to spoof and very hard for Joe Public to see them. I do think we're going to see a lot more attacks on major infrastructure, primarily in health, so health systems, hospitals, and in transportation, disruption to major airports and that type of stuff. But I also think that we're going to see attacks on C-level people and the board. And we're seeing it every year. We're seeing it going up. And whilst every year we're seeing more and more boards getting the right education level around cyber accountability, it's still increasing. And so I think we really need to have our key decision makers, and especially in mission critical enterprises, to understand their responsibility towards their consumers and towards the general public. And that goes as well for semi-state and organizations, government organizations that are providing services to the public. I mean, certainly anybody that's taking credit card payments for parking enforcement or, for a license plate or whatever, that should be by default PCI compliant, and if it's not, there should be an alert that goes up.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, Matthew George, always great to talk to you again. His book, you can get it. It's wonderful. The Cyber Elephant in the Boardroom. He is the founder of VigiTrust. Thanks so much for coming on.
Thank you so much, Kate. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Hey,
Hey guys, why settle for poor quality Powdiarco that's sold by stores and online resellers when you can get Tahibo Tea Club's original pure Powdiarco Super Tea at drinksupertea.com or 818-965-9113. The Tahibo Tea Club's original pure Powdiarco Super Tea is only available at drinksupertea.com. 818-965-9113. 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com.
Ever feel completely down on your luck, whether it's your career or just your life? Do you look at other people and wonder, why them, not me? I'm Kate Delaney. I did it. I admit it. I've learned some valuable and priceless lessons from some of the rock stars I've interviewed over the years, like Sir Richard Branson or the late, great John Madden, and I want to share them. Want to laugh? Want to learn? Want more out of life? Then pick up a copy of my book, Heal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary. Get it on Amazon today.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
I can't tell you how excited I am to have Christine Hassing on with us. She's written a book called Hope Has a Cold Nose. And wait till you hear the story behind this book and the book itself. Christine, thanks so much for coming on.
Okay, it's my honor. Thank you.
Tell me what led you to write this book. Why did you write the book in the first place?
So I was in class with a veteran and a service dog. And we were given an assignment to create something we hadn't done before. And writing life stories was not new to me. I had been volunteering at a local hospice writing life stories for a couple of years. And just prior to meeting the veteran, I had actually been writing letters for a dear friend who was dying of cancer. And we were writing letters for her to leave to her two sons. And so anyway, I asked the veteran if I could write his life story. And what made that new for me is I had not written a life story for somebody who was not knowingly dying. And this veteran very graciously said yes. And so I wrote his story. And in his telling the story, he shared with me a statistic I did not know at the time, that 22 veterans commit suicide a day. And it just absolutely broke my heart to think that there was 22 souls that reached a point where they lost their sense of hope. And so I felt called, inspired, whatever might be the word, to write a book and write life stories of hope and healing and dignity found with the unconditional acceptance and love of a service dog.
So in the book, you really dive into this, talking about matching humans with the right dog, the right service dog, and you tell these stories. Tell us more about the book.
Yeah, so there's 23 life stories. They all have, you know, the common theme of PTSD, but I like to reframe it as pain, trauma, sorrow, or despair, because then I think that takes away any chance of a stereotype when we hear the acronym PTSD. And pain, trauma, sorrow, despair is something we all know at least one aspect of at least once in our lives. And the other theme is the unconditional listening and the unconditional acceptance, because a dog has no judgment. They can't speak back. They can listen and love. And each of the stories, they have that common theme, but each of them are different. One, because they're each individual life story. But my approach with each person was simply to listen. And so some people wanted to talk about their deployment. Others wanted to talk about how their life had changed once they got their service dog. And others wanted to share things from their childhood as well. So each story is unique with a common theme.
Tell us one of the stories. I mean, it's probably hard to pick out your favorite, but tell us one of the stories.
Yeah, I was going to say, how much time do we have for all 23? I will share. There's one story that comes to mind immediately. It was a gentleman who had been a veteran during the Vietnam War. And when he was serving in Vietnam, he had a canine dog that also served with him, who was the dog to sniff out harm. And he returned to the United States, and unfortunately was not able to bring that dog back with him. And that broke his heart and left him very sad, feeling very guilty, along with the traumas of his experiences during that time. So he lived with anxiety, nightmares, you know, a lot of the things that we hear when we hear PTSD. And about 30 years later, he got involved in his community with building a replica of the Vietnam Wall that they could travel to different events, different engagements, and share that wall. So he was on a tour with this wall, and he happened to cross paths with Northwest Battle Buddies in Oregon, or Washington, I should say, Washington State. And he happened to know one of the people that works in that organization, who came up and showed him a picture of a puppy and was asking his advice on how to train this dog, because this person knew this veteran sharing the story had experiences with training dogs from his time in the service. So this gentleman shared, and a few months later their paths crossed again, and again he was shown a picture of this dog and the progress, hearing how he was doing. And fast forward about another year, so I'd say about 2 years, because that's usually what it takes to train a dog, he went to a fundraising event with Northwest Battle Buddies, and he was a speaker, which was really hard for him because he, again, with his anxiousness, wasn't comfortable, but still did that. And at the end of his speech, the founder of Northwest Battle Buddies came up to him and pointed to the back of the room. And the dog that he had been seeing pictures of was given to him that night to be his service dog. And he started training and found a lot of healing from the dog that he couldn't bring to the United States with him. Found a lot of healing on his journey with PTSD, and found a deeper bond with his children because they gained an understanding of his story he had been able to talk about until he shared it for the book.
Wow, what a beautiful story. And there's so many other stories, too, that just they'll just make you smile and get you teary-eyed and everything else. How did you find these stories?
It was, I would say, word of mouth, reaching out. You know, so the first veteran connected me with three additional individuals. I would reach out to organizations, and there would be one person who would want to graciously share their story. They would maybe know somebody or not. And it just became kind of through a 2-year journey. One of the things I had a goal. I wanted at least 22 stories because of the symbolism of 22 lives a day. And just before our world pandemic, hit, right after it hit, I gained the last 5 stories of my goal to complete the book. And I always felt like that was a sign that the book needed to be out there not only for the 22 lives a day, but for what everybody was suddenly starting to understand about isolation, anxiousness, and some of those things that I think a lot of the people in the world are starting to experience over the last couple of years.
Yeah, wow. Good for you. What do you hope people take away from reading Hope Has a Cold Nose, which you can get on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, wherever great books are sold?
Yeah, so a couple of things. One, I would like to inspire an awareness of a journey with PTSD, foster a compassion for that journey. But also, raise awareness about the holistic healing effect of dogs, service dogs, therapy dogs, emotional support dogs. But in all of those ways, there's a lot of healing power in that. And also to foster a common, more of a, take away the judgment. I guess that's what I'm trying to say, Kate, is take away the judgment that we sometimes have when we hear certain acronyms, or we don't know what to say because we don't know how to handle somebody's pain from their trauma or those things. And foster unconditional listening. I think that was one of the things that so many of the veterans said, as they said, my dog just listens. I can tell them anything. And they said, even if I have someone close to me who really tries to listen and understand, for the veteran, they're still judging themselves. And so they're still expecting the person they're talking to judge them. Where a dog just looks at them with those loving eyes and holds absolutely no judgment. So I would also like to foster us unconditionally listening. We don't have to accept the story, but I think if we listen, we start the healing process for people too.
Oh, so well said. Again, the name of the book is Hope Has a Cold Nose. Christine Hassing, thank you so much for coming on the show.
Okay, thank you. Definitely my privilege.
And thanks to all of you for listening to this hour of the show. Make it count, everybody. Those well-meaning friends who tell you what you ought to be doing with your life. I'm Kate Delaney. I have them. Occasionally I listened and I found myself stuck in dead-end jobs, relationships, and a life I absolutely did not recognize. In my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, I promise you, once you finish it, you won't let people tell you what to do anymore. Learn how to make bold moves that change the course of your destiny. The book is filled with stories that will make you laugh out loud and lessons you can apply right away. If you go to my website, KateDelaneyRadio.com, I have a steal of a deal. Check this out. Just $29.99 for both my hard copy books. Deal Your Own Destiny, which I just talked about, and my girlfriend's gratitude journal. Perfect gift for girlfriend, wives, or any woman in your life. Again, both books, just $29.99. Click on special offer at KateDelaneyRadio.com.